A reading from Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we hear the awful, yet wonderful account of Jesus' suffering, death, and burial for us, we are at once astonished at all he went through in order to redeem sinners, and eternally grateful that he was willing to suffer all this for us. For truly, it was for us men and for our salvation that Jesus came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. For us he suffered and was buried. In hearing of Jesus' passion from the Gospels, in conjunction with the selected Psalms and readings from Isaiah 53, we are also shown very clearly that the events of Holy Thursday and Good Friday didn't just happen to Jesus. He certainly wasn't the victim of an incredible series of unfortunate but random events. He wasn't even merely the victim of a cynical conspiracy to get him out of the way once and for all. To be sure, there was a conspiracy against him. What would happen to Jesus, though, had been recorded in sacred scriptures many centuries before his enemies ever hatched their plot against him, before even the great-great-great-grandparents of any of the individuals in this tragic and glorious drama had been born. No, the scriptures make it very clear that Jesus' suffering and death were not a coincidence, nor simply the result of a malicious plot by Jewish leaders jealous of their perquisites. Rather, from eternity, Jesus' suffering and death were right at the center of God's plan for the salvation of sinners, central to God's plan for your salvation. Isaiah writes, "They made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth." Jesus was sentenced to die the death of a vile criminal, crucified between two men being executed for armed robbery. He was equated with such violent offenders, sentenced to the same torturous form of death. His grave would have been that cross, his body left there between the other two for birds and animals to scavenge. This didn't happen because, in accommodation to Jewish religious sensibilities, in Palestine, the The Romans removed the bodies of those they crucified and interred them in unmarked graves. Yet such humiliation would not be Jesus' fate in death. Though he was put to death as a criminal, a wicked man, the Lord honored him to be laid in a rich man's tomb. What Isaiah had prophesied 7 centuries earlier was fulfilled when a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, got permission from Pilate to take Jesus' corpse and lay it in his own new tomb. All of this happened to Jesus, even though he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Innocent and righteous, Jesus nevertheless suffered a death reserved for traitors, terrorists, and slaves. Why? He had said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." How could he do that? How could he provide a light burden and an easy yoke to those who were heavy laden, burdened down by guilt and shame over what they had done, over how they had failed? Only one thing made this possible. Jesus took up their heavy burden, and he bore it himself. Listen again to what Isaiah wrote. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." There can't be any doubt about what was going on that day at Golgotha. It had been recorded in the scriptures centuries earlier. As the Lamb of God, Jesus was bearing the sin of the world, taking all of your transgressions and iniquities and offenses and sins, taking them as his own and receiving the chastisement, the punishment, the death, and the suffering of hell you had deserved. Without the words of Scripture, if we were presented with Jesus hanging on a cross and dying, we could only assume he deserved it. That's the way we think the world ought to be. Do wrong and you're punished. Do right and you're rewarded. But Good Friday shows that looks can be deceiving. The one who looks to be stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, is God's own beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. On the cross, he's taking your place, enduring your punishment, suffering your death for you. Surely he has borne your griefs and carried your sorrows. It wasn't for any wrong he had done that he was suffering, but for what you have done. Your impatience and unkindness, the words you shouldn't have spoken, and the love you failed to share. And not just these, but all your other sins as well, from those of which you aren't even aware to the ones you know all too well, the ones Satan wants you to believe forever disqualify you from God's grace. But it is not so. It's true, like a foolish sheep, you've gone astray. Again and again you've turned to your own way. But there at Golgotha on Good Friday, the Lord laid on him, on Jesus, his Son, his only Son whom he loved, all of your and my iniquity. And now it's taken care of, paid for, completely finished. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, St. Paul writes. That means those who have been baptized into Christ and clothed with his righteousness, forgiven according to his command, united with him in the blessed cup and the broken bread of his holy supper. All of these are in Christ, and Christ is in them. There is therefore now no condemnation for them, no condemnation for you, since Good Friday, when Jesus was condemned in your place and suffered and died for your sins. The blessed result of all this is that in him, you are free. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.